Upon hearing the words climate change denier, it would usually strike the concept of top politicians, senators and presidents protecting their prolific oil reserves and resource-fueled economic ventures. But an influential figure, how can we really define that when this planet is the footing for 7.53 billion people, all with dynamic perspectives regarding the authority and consequences of climate change? In theory, everyone is influential, concerning how they ascend to their peers or social standing, as well as how they act in deferring or inducing the effects and changes to the planet and its climate. Climate change is exacerbating at a meteoric pace, thus making it the biggest danger to the current population and to succeeding generations. For example, the rate of sea level based on available analysis shows that in the last 100 years, a rise due to ice fall melting and glacial retreat of about 20 centimetres has led to coastal flooding and erosion in areas of low altitude such as Bangladesh or the Maldives. These troublesome statistics are indissoluble, indefinite and irreparable, and I believe that every one of those 7.53 billion people, including myself and any person listening to this podcast, is a denier of the jeopardy we have assumed on ourselves in rebuffing climate change and its consequentialist dangers. I am from a middle-class family. I have the prosperity of my parents to thank for a driveway full of cars, a wardrobe full of disposable outfits, and enough gadgets to discharge a wind farm. But I call myself a climate change advocate. Isn't that a paradox in itself? On the 28th of February 2020, 15,000 people took to the streets of Bristol with the famous Greta Thunberg, accusing politicians and the media of ignoring the climate change emergency and sweeping their mess under the rug. However admirable this may resonate, we can assume that 60%, 9,000 people, came to this event via car, and every gallon of gasoline burned creates about 8,880 grams of CO2. We can assume that 20%, 3,000 people, may have stopped for a burger on the way home or got a drink from a high street giant. McDonald's emits roughly 0.764 megatons of CO2 on average a year. We can assume that these school children and middle-class impressionists have parents in tertiary jobs. We can assume that they have iPhones or iPads that demand energy that renewable sources cannot facilitate. But they are under the assumption that by laying blame at the foot of higher forces, this makes them acquitted and guiltless for the dangers that climate change possesses. They, us, those 7.53 billion people, are the real climate change deniers. So how do we respond to a majority? How do we change the conventional views of the masses in order to achieve the best common welfare? It's not about international change. Global meetings such as Rio Earth Summit and Paris Agreement are arguably unavailing. We as a nation underwent an industrial revolution in the early 1800s, but a newly emerging economy such as India are undergoing their own industrial revolution as I speak. We cannot stint this economic development in order to meet green codes. We cannot stint their growth socially and financially by imposing tariffs and taxes on the use of non-renewable energy. We cannot blame other nations for our lack of small-scale initiative. Global change cannot be facilitated without communities and households influencing each other in order to modify the ways we live and ultimately evolve to cut carbon from our course of conduct. We as a collective need to stop denying that small-scale changes will not have a momentous impact. We need to stop assuming that by marching every Friday we are actually going to make a difference. Fundamentally, we need to act and to start engaging and respecting the hostility that climate change possesses. We need to change our own outlook and become our own significant figures in this climatic change conflict.